pair of these, you know, narrations of Ahlul Bayt. Let me introduce one book which has been compiled and published actually by the Astana Quds Razavi, the holy shrine of the Imam al-Ridha alayhi salatu wassalam, Pishwayan Shi'a Pishgaman Wahdat, which means that the infallible Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam, they are pioneers of the unity of Islamic Ummah.
So this whole concept has actually been preached by the household of the Prophet himself and, of course, the Prophet.
Yes. I want to say that this is Islamic duty. It is not political one, okay? Right. It is not only political. Rather, it is Islamic duty. For example, we have one narration from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam himself. He said, لَيْسَ رَجْلٌ أَحْرَصَ عَلَىٰ جَمَاءَةِ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَأُلْفَتَهَا مِنِّي. Is nobody like me looking and seeking for the unity of, you know, denomination within the Ummah of Noble Prophet Muhammad. أَبْتَغِي بِذَلَكَ حُسْنَ الثَّوَابِ وَكَرَمِ الْمَآبِ. Because I'm looking for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by wanting to gather all Islamic denominations together. So Imam Sheikh, Ali alayhi salatu wasalam.
Some might say that the Imam, did he himself say Islamic domination, or did he just speak about the Islamic Ummah as a whole? Because if he spoke as Islamic Ummah as a whole, one might object and say that he meant the true Shia Muslim followers.
No. He said that because if you go to other narrations of Ahlul Bayt, you can easily understand that they are talking about all Islamic denominations. Okay, within the realm of Islam, they want to say, أَحْرَصَ عَلَىٰ جَمَاءَةِ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ. I just want to gather all the people under the banner of Islam. All people, they are considered to be Muslim within all denominations. I just want to gather them under one banner, which is a banner of Islam.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
And another narrations of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salatu wassalam, he said that sallu fi masajidihim wa'udu mardahum washhadu janaizahum. He said that pray with them in their mosque. O Shia community, go to the mosque of Ahlul Sunnah, pray with them. And if they are sick, pay visit to the sick people of the Ahlul Sunnah. And if they, you know, some of them, they're dead, go to the funeral procession of them. فَإِنَّكُمْ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمْ ذَلِكَ قَالُوا هَؤُلَاءِ الْجَعْفَرِيَّةِ رَحِمَ اللَّهُ جَعْفَرًا. If you do that, people praise me as Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. And they said that, oh, they are Shia people, they are followers of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah bless Imam As-Sadiq. So, and there, actually the riwayah of kunu lana daynan wa la takunu alayna shaynan is, it has been said by Ahlul Bayt in this context. That if you go among the other denominations, which they are the majority actually, even now, nowadays, they are majority. If you go among them, try to show the mercy of Ahlul Bayt, to be very respectful to them, you know, their visitation, to have kind of nice interaction, kind interaction to them, in order to attract their attention toward the, you know, Ahlul Bayt.
Or at the very least, to protect the followers of Ahlul Bayt from harm, if not just attract them to the Islamic.
Because it has been mentioned in riwayah of Ahlul Bayt that you should attract the kindness of people toward us Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salatu, to love us Ahlul Bayt. Okay? And to be kind of adornment for the Ahlul Bayt, not to be disgrace for them. So you see that unfortunately maybe some people in a Shia community, Shia and of course school of thought, and in Sunni school of thought, unfortunately, we have some extremist group in both sides.
Right.
Okay.
Radicals.
Yes, radicals. But if you go to the, and these radicals, maybe most of them, they are not aware of the traditions of Ahlul Bayt. And even the verses of Noble Quran, they are not aware of that. But if they go to the narrations of Ahlul Bayt, you find many, numerous narrations of Ahlul Bayt emphasizing on having respect to them, visiting, having interaction to them, to have the kind of, nice behavior, mannerism with them, and attract their attention and the love towards Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam. So it means that if you have any disputes, first of all, try to talk to each other by the rational argument. You know,
so do not get emotional, basically.
Exactly, I want to say that.
That's the
do not get emotional. Yes. Do not hurt your emotions. It is very important not to insult in each other, not to cause rude to each other.
Not to insult the people who the other part respects.
Yes, exactly. And it is strictly forbidden. And then if you have any, differences, put it for the scholars. Scholars of both sides, they can go and have dialogue and debate to each other,
right,
and they can solve their problem. I don't know, in some conferences, they can sit to each other, they can have dialogue to each other and solve and minimize the problem. Not to publicize,
right,
and, differences between the denominations and, publicly not to talking. Many people, they are not expert in this issue, and they want to publicize whatever differences, even the detailed differences that we have between Shia and Ahlul Sunnah. And this is totally wrong, because this is a responsibility of our scholars to talk about this issue, but not ordinary, common, ignorant people.
But that's the problem, dear Sheikh, because our scholars, they do not sit together to talk and debate. So it is kind of left to the supporters of these schools of thought to defend their school of thought. Because I do not remember the last time I saw a Shia scholar sit with a Sunni scholar to discuss problems in a respectable and a well-mannered form.
Of course, you know that if you go to the history, you find a lot of kinds of these dialogues between,
right,
our scholars, Shia and Sunni. And still, even nowadays, we have these kind of conversations and dialogues with our scholar, but maybe in few numbered cases, but still we have this, and we have to, increase these kind of dialogues between our scholar. And maybe part of the reason is propaganda, my dear brother.
Of course.
Propaganda, especially by the social media, by Western, hegemony, they want to separate us from each other. They want to break the unity of Islamic Ummah. And you know that how dangerous it is. Because you know that after all, we have one enemy who are actually the enemy of humanity. And when we have all Islamic denominations, when they have one unique enemy, so why we should have dispute? We have to unite to each other and be against the enemy that we have.
I would like to end this discussion on a light note by mentioning that look at what unites us and focus on that, because that which disunites us is much, much less.
I want to say that very briefly. It doesn't mean that we want to, for example, change our faiths and school of thought.
Of course, we will not omit our beliefs.
It doesn't mean that I do not want to, I want to withdraw from my belief system. No.
Of course.
Both sides, they have to maintain that. But it means that, that put aside some of the quarrels.
Yes.
Put aside insulting, okay?
Right.
And, disrespecting each other. This is the unity Islamic Ummah means that. Let me add one narration of that. مَنْ سَلَّى مَأَهُمْ فِي الصَّفِّ الْأَوَّلِ فَكَأَنَّمَا صَلَّى مَأَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ فِي الصَّفِّ الْأَوَّلِ. If you pray in congregational prayers with your brothers of Ahlul Sunnah, is as if you have prayed with Noble Prophet Muhammad in the first line. So you see that very important to maintain this unity with our brothers of ancestors of Ahlul Sunnah. And actually this narration falls from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam.
And with that, we will have to end today's program because we are out of time.
I thank the dear Sheikh for joining us today and sharing with us his knowledge.
My pleasure.
And I also thank you, the dear listeners, for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavet, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pourreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
I'm heading with Donbass militia fighters to a frontline position outside the city of Donetsk. Ukrainian soldiers are only 70 meters away. I'm told not to film the skyline or any prominent markers so as not to give away their positions. The cramped living quarters are dark and dank. A fighter with the call sign Yidra, meaning the otter, gives me a tour.
We live here not in trenches but under concrete. These are destroyed buildings that we've old basements. It is all dug out by hands, down the narrow passageways and understand what it's like to be a miner. We live here, breathe this air. You can't survive artillery any other way. At least you can hide from snipers, but not from artillery. Big caliber artillery too.
He shows me a picture sent to him by his daughter. I asked him what has motivated him to fight in these conditions for the last 8 years.
Конечно, потому что я здесь живу.
Because this is where I live. My mother lives 25 kilometers from here. I speak Russian. My mom and dad speak Russian. I was a miner here. It's my land.
A young fighter, barely 18. The grueling nature of this war is bringing a seamlessly endless wave of young men on both sides to fight. Thousands won't return home.
While the Ukrainians have been making advances in the north of the Donbass and the Kherson region, here on the front lines just outside Donetsk, it's very much trench warfare, where success is measured in meters rather than kilometers. It's pretty quiet here today. We have heard some small arms fire and some artillery, but I've been told that these trenches we're in now have changed hands many times over the last 8 years of war here.
A motivational poster. It reads, Donbass was never made to kneel by anybody, and nobody will be able to do it.
We understand that the USA are ruling this circus. Europe needs to stop being their vassals. America doesn't care about others. Their only way is to be at war, and they build their domestic policy out of conflicts with other countries. In Syria, they played the card of radical Islam, and now they're playing the card of fascism. They need war's blood and cruelty. And they signed Europe up to it, too. They missed only one thing, that Russia will not stop fighting.
While there is raging ethnic hatred of Russians in Ukraine, after interviewing dozens of soldiers and civilians in Donbass, despite the war, I've yet to hear any ethnic hatred of Ukrainians.
We don't blame all Ukrainian people. Ukrainian people are our friends and relatives. Those who study this understand that one-third of Europe are cousins. Ukrainians, Belarusians, Slovaks, Poles, and Slovenians. They're all Slovak people. Ordinary people are not to blame for this. We think they're just corrupted by evil.
Out many Ukrainians who want peace negotiations with Russia, but are scared to speak up. Indeed, President Zelensky was elected in 2019 of war in the East, but the sad truth is set to escalate further. Peace in Ukraine has never looked less likely than it does now. Johnny Miller, Donetsk.
Linked hand in hand, thousands of men and women surround the British Houses of Parliament, a symbolic act in solidarity with a man they call the world's foremost political prisoner.
It's obvious for any observer, for anyone who is fairly looking at this situation, that this is an enormous, monumental injustice of a man who is being persecuted by the authorities, who are using the coercive powers of the state in order to try to punish him for doing the right thing.
That right thing was exposing American crimes and conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq, for which he is wanted by the U.S. government. The now 51-year-old Australian, co-founder of whistleblower website WikiLeaks, has been locked up in a maximum security prison near London since April 2019.
To his many supporters, Julian Assange is an anti-establishment hero who's been victimized, and that his prosecution is a politically motivated assault on journalism and on free speech.
Organized by the Don't Extradite Julian Assange campaign, the human chain is not just about securing one man's freedom.
This has implications for pretty much every journalist who publishes material critical of the United States. If he is actually extradited and they succeed, then any other journalist in the UK or from around the world could face the same fate as Julian Assange, which would, of course, would be a strong discouragement to them to publish any critical material, and we get something like a chilling effect, basically, whereby the press ceases to scrutinize foreign policy of the most powerful nation on the planet.
And that powerful nation, under the Trump administration, it was revealed last year, plotted to kidnap or kill Assange as he sheltered in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. Earlier this year, the UK government approved the father of two's extradition to the United States to face criminal charges, which carry a maximum sentence of 175 years. An appeal to the UK's High Court is underway. Assange's supporters say they won't relent until he is unchained. Saeed Purza, London.
People have rallied across the Yemeni capital Sana'a as well as other major cities to celebrate Prophet Muhammad's birth anniversary amid the highly alarming situation in Yemen. This comes days after the warring sides failed to renew a ceasefire agreement which ended earlier in October.
The relationship between the Yemeni people and Prophet, it is narrated in history books as well as the holy book Quran. Yemenis are the first to embrace Islam. Old relationship. The anniversary of Prophet Muhammad's birth has become a holiday for all Yemenis. There is no single about this gathering.
Participants say they celebrate Prophet Muhammad's values and principles by honoring his birth anniversary, especially amid the Saudi-led war, which requires Yemenis to follow the Prophet's footsteps in the face of the coalition's tyranny.
The occasion of the Prophet's birth anniversary becomes more important year after year. It has become the first occasion and the first aid for Yemenis, although it's an occasion that all Muslims celebrate. Unfortunately, only Yemenis celebrate this occasion with this beautiful gathering.
This day is an annual event in which Yemenis renew their relationship with Prophet Muhammad and their love for the Prophet as he inspires us to confront the enemies of the nation. Today is also a political occasion from which the position of Yemenis is announced by the leader of the revolution, Abdul Malik al-Houthi.
Yemenis have always been one of the largest populations in the world to commemorate Prophet Muhammad's birth anniversary, as this day resembles their culture, which approves their love and loyalty to the Prophet.
The Iranology Foundation in Tehran hosted this conference to introduce Iran from the perspective of Iranian experts, as opposed to Western accounts of the country's culture and civilization. the biennial event brought together historians, anthropologists, and sociologists. Aspects of Iran's
The Iranology Foundation has been trying to introduce Iran as it is to the world, organize summits and conferences on Iran's story to study the country from the viewpoint of Iranian. Here we have permanent galleries showcasing Iran's handicraft and art. We also hold classes for students who are major in Iranology.
Iran is known for its diverse demographic makeup, which has allowed Persians, Turks, Kurds, Baluchis, and Arabs to live together for centuries, each with their unique culture, costumes, language, and lifestyle.
The West's approach on Iran is not based on realities. The so-called Orientologists in the West have maintained a top-down approach toward Iran. Fortunately, today this mentality has been abolished. Our country is full of beauties, from its four seasonal weather and amazing landscapes to its history of peaceful coexistence of different ethnicities and religions. These are the realities that are not reflected in the West.
With a population of more than 80 million, Iran is situated on a geopolitical area, bordering the Caspian Sea to its north and the Persian Gulf to its part of what experts refer to as the heartland of natural resources, including those to exploitation by different countries, the UK and the former Soviet Union.
Experts here believe Western media portray Iran as an isolated country and ignore its beauties. They believe there's a need to reintroduce the country to the world using the pen of Iranian experts to shed light on the bright side of Iran, from its mesmerizing nature to its rich culture and history. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
New jobs data in the United States showed a collapse of 1.1 million job openings, the biggest one-month crash ever outside of the COVID lockdown. It's also the first increase in the unemployment rate since April 2020, and that has many so-called recession deniers being forced to reconsider. The United States has had two consecutive quarters of negative economic growth, which is the standard definition of economic recession. However, in an effort to avoid the negative press the recession label receives, the administration of President Joe Biden claimed that a stable unemployment rate meant that the U.S. was not in a recession. That's no longer possible. Due to the so-called Uberization of the United States economy, the official data has long been accused of falsely portraying a rosy picture. The national unemployment rate is 4%, but many say the jobs available are part-time or lack crucial benefits like health care, or are poorly paid despite the current record inflation.
People looking for benefits, they want to work from home. People are not settling like they used to. It's just a matter of, I don't want to say laziness, but I think people are just, they're trying to get the best that they want, and companies are trying to hold steady and their wages, and they're not willing to pay as much because costs are going up for them as well.
Amid the backfiring of Western sanctions on Russia, many businesses have responded by cutting job listings, slowing the hiring process, and may begin mass layoffs. The widespread perception is that America's central bank is forcing a recession to reduce inflation, even if that means throwing millions out of work, out of their homes, and guts pensions, which are usually based on the stock market. The drop in jobs is the latest piece of data which shows a dangerously worsening economic situation for the average American. Wages are losing ground to inflation at a record pace, and an economically chaotic October could translate into a painful holiday season for many. Ramin Mazahari, Chicago.
The night chaos and violence came to England's Islamic Center as marauding crowds, intent on raising more than their voices, lay siege to the usually peaceful premises. More than a week later, there is still evidence of the violence that boiled over. Amongst the victims that night was a longtime Quran teacher at the center who was set upon by a baying mob.
Suddenly the people, so many people were there standing and started calling me and swearing and shouting, stay, and surrounded me. And the other people came starting hitting me, kicking me, and swearing without stopping. And I couldn't understand. I was so surprised from them. So how can the people become this violent? One of them, he kicked me from the over my my kidney, and I still have a problem with my kidney. And I went to the hospital, sent the doctor, and so my knee as well. So it just had very big scratch in my knees and bloating. I still have problems with my leg, right leg, and I can't walk properly after this 10 days, more than 10 days.
Said Mousavi is the director of the center and is leading the charge for justice.
The Islamic Center is following its legal path, and a case against the riots has been filed, and it is ongoing based on document and evidence.
Days after violence rocked the Islamic Center, there is still a visible police presence. And whilst those inside do everything they can to protect themselves and their loved ones, it's hoped that should there be a repeat of this atrocity, the authorities will do more.
Until those responsible are brought to account, there are still questions.
But why they did that in that time, I was so surprised. I think it wasn't only one group. I think there were very small groups of the people who were against Islam and against the humanity, and against their kindness, against... I think they were like this, some of them.
There is now a call for calm and dialogue as the only paths forward.
If you want people listen to you and respect your idea, you should respect the idea of the other as well. That is why I want to ask them, please come and talk and have a dialogue with each other. And then with the dialogue, we can listen to different ideas. And of course, even in Quran, we have a specific advice that tells us you should listen to different words and choose the best. But different word, not different attack.
Meanwhile, the Metropolitan Police is continuing its identification of individuals responsible for the anti-Iran violence that spilled over on British streets. Amina Taylor, London.
Leading experts at this European Economic and Social Committee conference in Brussels on Friday said homelessness in the EU has increased by 70% in the past decade. A conservative estimate suggests there are 700,000 homeless people across the 27-country bloc.
We see now with the energy poverty and the increasing vulnerability that are happening around Europe that we are very, very concerned that those figures will also be increasing further. And that's why we believe that it's really important that we all join forces.
Young adults in precarious jobs are in one of the highest risk categories. If you have a mortgage, then repayments are going up due to interest rate hikes. If a landlord has a mortgage, they are passing on extra charges to tenants. Homeless people don't vote. So is there an incentive for politicians to take action?
If in such a short time so much can be done for Ukrainian refugees, and also if so much could be done for homeless people during the corona pandemic, I think we can do the same in the future. It's just a question of political will.
Those who have experienced being homeless say it's a very difficult situation to escape from.
Everybody thinks you are a little bit shady or something like that, and nobody trusts you, and you don't trust anybody. When people start to trust me, I start to doing better things for me, for myself.
Critics say the current economic crisis and resulting social misery could have been avoided if EU leaders had prevented the war in Ukraine through diplomacy. It has been suggested by some political commentators one way the EU could ease its growing homelessness crisis would be for Western nations to adopt a foreign policy that is less aggressive, which would avoid further displacement of millions of more people. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
The
22nd Caspian Economic Forum has been held in Moscow. During the event, issues including developing trade and economic cooperation, interaction in the field of ecology, energy, transport, and logistics were discussed. Delegations from the Caspian five literal states, namely Russia, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Iran, and Azerbaijan, were present at the event.
The countries of the Caspian region will have to work in the current turbulent conditions of the global economy and geostrategic tensions. The West is putting increasing pressure on other countries in an attempt to maintain the existing world order.
The Caspian region possesses a significant part of the world's gas and oil reserves. It is of high significance, especially at a time when the whole world is facing an unprecedented energy crisis. The Iranian authorities came up with a new proposal to address those issues.
In order to unify and harmonize tariffs for rail, road, and sea transportation, expanding trade and economic cooperation, we propose to establish a committee for cooperation in the field of transport, transit, and customs business.
The Islamic Republic, given its geographical location, has very good opportunities to conduct operations in the oil and gas sector, as well as providing energy supplies to other regions. Iran has stressed the need to accelerate the unification of the country's electric power networks with those of the Caspian states.
The main purpose of this forum is boosting the economy of regional countries and to enable the Caspian states to use their opportunities to develop trade and economic cooperation, culture and tourism. Also, everyone should not only use the opportunities of the Caspian Sea, but also protect it. We are actively working in the development of the North-South Transport Corridor. The shipping lines of the Islamic Republic of Iran have allocated 300 containers for the transportation of goods to Russia.
Apart from what was said and proposed at the event, the forum also had good news for the member states. Cruise shipping on the Caspian Sea is set to begin in 2023 for the first time in history.
More than 1,000 delegates from the five Caspian Sea littoral states, as well as Belarus, Kyrgyzstan and Uzbekistan, have taken part in the forum. In the meeting, the participants agreed to adopt decisions to enhance all-out cooperation among countries in the Caspian region. Marina Kartunova, Moscow.
Thousands of Palestinians have rallied in the blockaded Gaza Strip to mark the 35th anniversary of the outset of the Islamic Jihad movement. People from all walks of life joined to show their support. The Islamic Jihad movement is highly respected by all Palestinian factions and has always been a uniting factor among them. The movement was founded by the late Dr. Fathi Shaqaqi, who was inspired by the Iranian Revolution and the teachings of the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini.
Today we pay tribute to our founder Fathi Shaqaqi and all the martyrs. Our path is a very long one and paved by the blood of martyrs who sacrificed their lives for the sake of Islam and for the sake of Al-Quds.
Ziad Al-Nakhala, the Secretary General of Islamic Jihad, addressed the attendees via satellite link. During his speech, Al-Nakhala stressed the unity among all Palestinian factions and praised the axis of resistance against the Israeli regime.
Gaza is part of the axis of resistance, and this rally stresses that armed resistance is the key to the liberation of Al-Quds and all of Palestine. People attending this event are affirming their allegiance to the resistance and to the Islamic Jihad movement.
The Islamic Jihad movement and its leaders remain blacklisted by the European Union and the United States for refusing to recognize the Israeli regime.
We are all here to support the resistance against the Zionist regime. Our people are sending a strong message to the whole world today about their unwavering support for the resistance. We will continue our struggle until the liberation of Al-Quds.
Islamic Jihad supporters want the Israeli regime to know that their movement is a force to be reckoned with.
35 years on, the popularity of the Islamic Jihad movement continues to grow due to the movement's strict adherence to armed resistance against the Israeli regime. Ashraf Shana, Gaza.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
The United States is not what is shown in flamboyant Hollywood movies. You can get the real image of this country when a disaster happens. Destroyed houses, lack of food and medicines, erected tents on sidewalks are just a few examples of normal life in a hurricane-hit U.S. This time, Florida is bearing the brunt of this burden, with the death toll mounting in the aftermath of Hurricane Ian, which made landfall on the state's coast as a Category 4 storm last Wednesday, September 28, bringing devastating storm surges to the Cape Coral Fort Myers area and deadly flooding across the state. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. The website of Politico wrote, more than 2 million people were left without power as Ian swept through Florida, bringing catastrophic flooding and winds to large areas of the state in what some are predicting could be one of the worst storms to ever affect the Sunshine State. Images and videos broadcast on television and shared on social media showed scenes of flooding and destruction. The streets and even houses appeared flooded, while trees looked as if they were torn from the ground. Governor DeSantis warned that the storm, which weakened to a tropical storm, will cause extensive damage and widespread power outages, with full restoration efforts fully likely taking weeks. Recently, more than 2 million people were without power, representing 16% of the state. Florida emergency officials in Tallahassee received a handful of reports that Ian had damaged or destroyed the structures, but DeSantis expected that the state would face much more damage as the storm pushed across the state. Ian already knocked out communication service to 911 call centers in Hendry and Glades counties, DeSantis said. DeSantis added, calls are being answered and the people that are calling are being noted, and then those local first responders will deploy as soon as it's safe to do so. DeSantis said crews may need to conduct major reconstruction projects that could take weeks, meaning scores of residents could be without power for a long time. Axion also reported Hurricane Ian likely caused $53 billion to $74 billion in insured losses from Florida to the Carolinas, with a best estimate of $67 billion, according to new data released recently from modeling firm RMS. The big picture. These preliminary damage totals would make Hurricane Ian the costliest storm in Florida history and second nationally to Hurricane Katrina when adjusted for inflation. The storm, which devastated densely populated areas of southwest Florida, including F.T. Myers, Naples, and Barrier Island communities such as Sanibel Island, killed at least 92 people in Florida alone, according to the Associated Press. RMS, which is part of Moody's, also estimated the Federal National Flood Insurance Program could see $10 billion in losses from storm surge and inland flooding from the storm. Much of the damage from this storm is from water. With the coastal surge wiping out homes and businesses near the shore, and inland flooding hitting record levels across central Florida in particular. Wind damage was less extensive, likely due to strict building codes in the region, according to Steve Bowen, chief science officer at reinsurance broker Gallagher Re.
Also, by the numbers, according to the Insurance Information Institute, 2021's Hurricane Ida was the most expensive hurricane on record in Florida, with $36 billion in insured losses there. Nationally, 2005's Hurricane Katrina ranked at the top of the list, with about $85 billion in insured losses when adjusted for inflation using the Consumer Price Index. What they are saying, Ian was a historic and complex event that will reshape the Florida insurance market for years to come, said Mohsen Rahnama, Chief Risk Modeling Officer at RMS, in a statement. Bowen, who is currently surveying damage in Florida, said the damage from the storm surge has beaten his expectations. The good news is that newer constructed buildings in many communities seem to have performed very well given the intense wind speeds, which he chalked up to strict building code standards. Yes, but Bowen cautions that final loss numbers won't be known for many months. Given the anticipated volume of storm-related litigation to come, everyone needs to be mindful of the ongoing financial uncertainty and that numbers are going to evolve for many months to come, if not longer, he said. There is no question that Ian will go down as one of the costliest U.S. natural catastrophe events on record and one of the most expensive for the insurance industry. Where it finally lands on top five list, TBD. Context: hurricanes are becoming more intense, undergoing more episodes of rapid intensification, and are delivering more rainfall due to human-caused climate change. This may drive a future escalation in storm losses. Though so far, damage trends are dominated by the huge influx of people moving to vulnerable areas.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamidi.
Islamidi.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Youth Station. This is Asma, your humble host, and here with me I have my dear co-host
Zainab Askari. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you, Asma?
Just fine. Well, life is moving. We have to move as well.
Yes.
So we're going with the flow.
Yes.
Well, we are having a day that is called the Day of Senior Citizens.
All right.
Do you know that?
We don't have that, unfortunately.
So we have it. We have the day for elderly people who are like the diamonds
in
the society.
So nice. That you have a day for them.
Yeah.
We have a day for lovebirds.
Yeah.
We have a day for males. We have a day for fathers. We have a day for mothers.
So for
unfortunately, we don't have a day for senior
citizens. So you must have it.
Since I come from Kashmir, we don't have that.
Some people say to their elderly that your time has passed. You have done your things and now you no longer have such a very effective role in society. So unfortunate.
So Asma, why SBU is this unfortunate?
People say such things to elderly?
Yeah.
Because, you know, these people once have been young. And I usually, when I look at them, I see myself because some years ahead and I would be just in their place.
Yeah.
So those gray hairs that is going to get into my head or for men into their face is going to talk a lot. That means that this person is experienced enough, is full of knowledge enough to teach me as a young person the trick of the trade, which is living.
Yeah.
So I guess it is unfortunate that many people do not consider the value of these people. I guess some people do not care about the other citizens. They do not care that as we have a young person in this society, we have another person who also needs care and attention, that is an old person.
Actually, the world, the changing world, the pace it's changing at is beyond our imagination.
Yeah, of course.
And this changing world has taught us that you are important.
Selfishness.
You yourself are important.
And some people think that they're not going to get old.
And you're not... No. If you're basically taking care of old, even in your home, you're not going to enjoy your youth today.
Wow, be which self-centered. Is so bad.
Be selfish.
Mm-hmm.
This is the changing world that's teaching us. But actually, have we been taught in Islam like that? No.
Yeah, we have to respect them.
There's respect, and there's one of the hadiths from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, who says that these elderly people, if you have one in home, is a source of blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's going to be so much mercy on you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to learn from the experiences.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, I mean, I had some guest in my home for some 3 months.
Yeah.
Who was a senior citizen. And I so much learned from the experiences. I so much, like, I would just go and discuss. I would make tea for him.
Yeah.
Then I would sit.
Yeah, it's very nice.
And go for discussions, and I would learn the treasures of life.
Yeah.
I would learn from the mistakes they would do. Mm-hmm. Like senior citizens, if you go and sit with them, have a cup of coffee with them, actually you're making them feel better. And as long as you're not going to separate it from them, Allah is showering his blessings on you.
Exactly.
And then even they're going to feel better. Even you're going to learn from the mistakes.
Yeah, yeah.
They would tell you.
You feel that bliss, you know?
Yeah.
Then it's very interesting that from that chit-chat, very little talk that you have with those old people, you would feel some sort of release.
I would always prefer to go. I mean, I was invited as a poet to one of the Iranian cities, Shahr-e Khurd.
Yeah.
So
one of the cities in
Iran. I was invited there as a poet. So there were so many big personalities, of Iran, literary personalities who were invited because it was a poetry
gathering.
So among all those personalities who were very, very young or very, very somewhere elderly, I chose to sit or have lunch with a person who was who was elderly of all.
Yeah.
All. It was Professor Azhar Sher. If I don't make a mistake in pronouncing his name, he's a professor in Tehran University in Arabic language and literature. And I would sit with him. He was the senior citizen over there. He was the elderly of all. And I told him, so I would love to learn from you.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm from different culture. I have different...
It's always like this. Yeah.
Give me some advices.
Yes.
So... You know, these people, when you sit with them, you give them a sense of you're alive.
Yeah.
You live in this world. You matter a lot. You value. We value you. We respect you. It's not just standing up and sitting down for them. It's actually sitting with them and talking with them.
Yeah.
And they would give you advice, as I tell you, Asma, that they are, those advices
do wonders.
Value billions of dollars. Yeah. I swear, those advices these senior citizens can give you, those value more than those billions of dollars. And it will take you life to learn those. And then at that old age, you say to yourself, oh, I wish I knew this thing very, very early in my life. I say to myself,
it happens right now at this age. I sometimes tell to myself, have done that at that age?
Yes, I wish I knew this thing very, very early. So you would know things, a lot of things, treasure some things very, very early in your life when you discuss and sit with these elderly people.
Yeah, that is very true. So we're talking about the dear elderlies who are living in our society everywhere. Though we are a youth station, we sometimes honor the existence of these elderlies in our life. That's why we're having this session for them. We're devoting that full-heartedly to the elderlies. so that they know they're dear and they're so much respected. Let's go for a short interval and we'll be back in no time.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Youth Station. I am Asma, and here with me I have Zainab. Yes, we're enjoying our time talking about the elderly, the senior citizens that are living alongside us.
Asma, we have a quote in Urdu.
That's, which is?
Umar bachpan ki, dil bachpan ka. Umar is age. Bachpan is a number for 55. Umar bachpan ki, dil bachpan ka. Dil is heart. Bachpan is childhood.
So when you grow old, you become like a child.
No, it is like, even if you're 55, live in your childhood. It's your mentality that matters. But you know, you have so many people, young people around who live like who have already become old.
Yes.
Who's so lazy. Yes. Or so inactive. Mm-hmm. So what do you say about them?
What if I'm one of them?
Then we would love to know. How does it feel like to be old in a very young age?
Well, it happens sometimes. When you are 30, you feel like you are 50 or maybe 60.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that happens, actually, because if I want to explain, then it would turn into a novel. A long novel that's not going to end. But then I would say it's not just like feeling old. Sometimes, even in your youth, you would feel, you would go through a phase of inactiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would have a touch upon that age that is going to come. And then you would understand that, okay, if I get older, I'm not going to be able to do this or that. You know, Zainab, sometimes when I consider my abilities right now, my energy right now, and I compare it to 10 years ago, I see a drastic change.
Okay.
Like, I always tell myself that Asma, seize the day and do your best from today, because when tomorrow comes, you're not going to have the same abilities.
Same ability and energy.
Yeah. You're not going to have the same
interest in everything. What I would advise always my sisters. Don't be lazy today.
Yeah.
The energy, the enthusiasm, the passion you have today, you're not going to have that tomorrow.
Yeah. You know what I do? I usually tell my little brother that, okay, go enjoy your day right now. Make the best out of it.
Now.
And he comes to tell me that, okay, now you're pretending to be my grandmother and you're giving me advice as if you're so much older than me.
But that's what the experience is.
Yeah. This is experience. You know, when you're at 20, maybe it's offensive when you hear that from other people, that they tell you, okay, do this and that, do not do that, do not do blah, blah, blah. But when you get older, you understand that those people were so much in love with you for telling you those things, because they knew it, that when you get older, you would no longer have the same abilities, the same interests and motivations, Zainab, even.
Exactly. But there are so many things, Asma, that we keep out there for the old age.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I say to myself, not me, but there are so many people who say to themselves, like, well, let me work today. Let me only amass degrees and money today.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow I'll go for, like, reading books. Or reading Quran.
Yeah.
They reading the Quran, especially doing the prayers, doing extra prayers and all. But as you grow old, as per like medically, when you're 65 above, you're actually entering the old age. But technically, you're 73 and above, you're old. But then since you enter that age medically, you don't have the energy to go for recommended prayers.
Yeah, exactly.
We have often seen these elderly or old people, they give, have you seen that, Asma? Like, I have seen they give more time to Allah. They give more time to Quran.
Yeah.
Maybe in that age, they realized this was the thing.
That is very true.
This
is very true, because at the end of the day, when you get older, you would understand that people you love are not going to stay for you. things
and we have so many ahadith that say that the worship of a young is much better than the worship of so many worships of like
elderly. Because at that age you of course would come to the point that there is the point of realization. Yeah, yeah.
But as young you are, mm-hmm. you have to realize that what is important and what is unimportant. Like, especially, Asma, if I go back to time and if I'm told that go back into your teens, the thing I will do over there, what I do right now, is I'll read books.
Yeah.
I think it was very late to pick this option.
Yes, Zainab, reading books is something that I... When I now compare myself to when I was 15, 17...
When you were not reading books.
I'm a book freak, really, but when I compare my abilities right now to my abilities back in time, then I would say, oh my God, I'm getting aged.
Oh, no, no. It's actually, you say, when you read a couple of books right now, mm-hmm. then you say, oh my God, it added to my knowledge right now. Had I given this time in my teens,
I would have been
a different personality.
I wish I have read this book before.
I would have set the world on fire.
Yes. Yes, the world would have changed into a better world
exactly.
if I have read that book earlier.
Yes.
So we're talking totally about senior citizens of our society. We know that they're respected. We know that they're all dears, though they might have some changed appearance, but they might be still young in their heart. And usually age does not matter.
What matters is your perspective of looking at life.
Yeah, let this be the closing sentence to this session, that age does not matter. What matters is respectability.
Your perspective of life.
Yeah, your perspective, and also you should keep it in mind that one day you're getting to get old.
Yeah.
So getting old is not a sort of plague. It's not something extraordinary.
Disastrous.
That comes like, it happens only to aliens.
Yeah.
No, one day I'm going to
have
those gray hairs and I'm going to turn into a wrinkled woman. So it's going to happen to everyone.
And now you remind me of Shakespeare, who says in one of the sonnets, love is not love which alters when it alteration finds.
Wow, that is so lovely. Thank you for
mentioning
that.
Rosy cheeks, rosy lips are time's fool.
Yeah,
he says that in the first verse, and then he says this.
Very nice. Now I'm flying in the world of poetry. So thank you for mentioning that, and thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. This was all the time that we had for today's episode. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.